Welcome back to Lounging with Books. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Claire.
And today we are joined by Prison, a Reality. They are doing a talk for our year nines and we get to listen to all seven of them. Aren't we lucky?
Lucky.
I definitely don't want to go to prison now.
Who are you?
Yeah, we're going to ask some questions.
My name's Colin. I'm an ex-senior prison officer with 22 and a half years experience. Ex-Navy as well.
Yeah, I'm Matthew, ex-principal officer with 12 and a half years experience in high security, also ex-armed forces.
Right, what made you decide to go for the prison service?
When I came out, I struggled very, very much with moving back into civilian life. I've always been used to a uniformed, disciplined service. I was medically retired from the Navy. I got myself fit and I looked at this and I thought, I can do that. So I just went for the interviews and went from there. I thought it was something I could do, something I could achieve. So that's what put me into it, and I never look back, really. There's bad times, there's good times, but you always remember the good times. But that's me, that's what happened, and I just fell into it, really.
It's pretty much the same for me. Again, coming out of the armed forces, I ended up with a job. I was struggled, really, with that sort of environment. I wanted a team. Uniform again, going back into a disciplined service, and again I just fell into that. Didn't look back like Colin, really. The team was the thing. Prisoners and staff, you know, not all prisoners are bad people. It's working with them sort of people that have made silly mistakes, but it was always nice having a crew that had the same ethos, same mentality, just an enjoyable job.
From what I can gather from the speeches, you guys did the same role at the prison? Like, you did the same... What job did you do?
Right, we were both senior prisoners. We were working on the discipline side of the job. We were both... Well, Matthew went up to principal officer as well. Our job was mainly to control the wing, manage our shift. We usually got about 12 to 15 officers, if we were lucky, on a wing of 152 prisoners. Category A's at the last one. And our job was to control the wing. You know, make sure things run smoothly, make decisions on our feet when they need to be made, face up to situations there and then. You don't get time to think of a reply to some of the situations.
No, a lot of it was incident management.
Incident management.
Just making staff make sure they're where they should be at certain times. I migrated into a role with dangerous and severe personality disordered prisoners. It's very much a healthcare wing. It was a trial at the time. We were setting up a new system with these type of prisoners that were causing problems. So we put them all on one wing with a lot of mental health support, psychiatric help and things like that. But that was also very interesting to learn, the mindset of a lot of people, a lot of our prisoners.
Yeah. I migrated slightly the other way. I went into the more disciplined, where I became part of Tornado, which is the riot teams that if there's a problem are moved around the country doing that. I was also trained as a hostage negotiator, so I got into that as well, and various other little jobs you can do within the system as management.
Oh, it's all very interesting. I know. Very intriguing.
There's a lot of things you can migrate into. It's not just a prison officer. People see the prison officer with a bunch of keys, unlocking and locking doors. But there's so many different roles. You know, you can go handling, dog search teams. You've got chefs, catering. Obviously, moving into your management levels. You know, there's so many things you can get into.
So you've come today. You are Prison, a Reality. So what are you doing today?
Yeah, well, what it was, we were both medically retired from the prison service after an assault, each of us different ones, but we felt the children needed a bit of a more clear message into what life's really like inside our jail systems. I think as a society, we've shied away from some of our messages to our youth today. And I think really, you know, they haven't got a full story to make them informed decisions that they need to make once they start hitting teenagehood and things like that. They really need to understand that if they're going to break the law, you know, this is where you're going to end up and these are the type of people you're going to be living with. We enjoy it, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We're going around nationally now, so it's obviously getting more and more popular. And the kids do enjoy it because we get feedback that, you know, they talk about it for a week or two afterwards, especially the prisoner section. They always enjoy that story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You don't hold back the punches. It is filling them with the gritty life of being in prison.
I mean, that story as well that you. Billy, is it? The fake name?
Yeah.
About, you know, it's just an accident. He just pushes someone and then he's ending up in that horrible life.
Absolutely.
And it's quite shocking. It's as easy as that,
you know.
But Billy ended up in what we call the reoffending cycle. And he just kept going backwards and forwards now because his life was destroyed.
Yeah.
And we believe that as a government and a prison service, we cannot break that circle at any time during that time. The only time to break it is to stop it happening in the first place, which is our pure belief as why we do this.
Yeah.
The only way we can stop that happening is to stop them before they get into that position.
Yeah, because when you get out, it's really hard to get jobs. And then you just end up going back into the criminal element.
It's like a vicious circle. It is, isn't it?
Because as a society, we're reactive to our crimes. You know, once you've committed a crime, that's it, you're inside. And then we start putting the money in and the rehabilitation and things. We should be proactive. And we should start teaching the youth of today, you know, that you don't want to go down that route. Even though you're not there yet, be aware. Stay away from it, you know, because it just ruins lives, and we don't want that for these children.
No, I know it's getting quite a lot of press, the prison life at the moment, isn't it? Because I mean, they are painting it as quite black, it's quite doomed. I mean, is that the case? Is it sort of?
It is major problems at the
moment.
For
people who work in, you know, people who work there.
For both sides of the gate, you know, you've got the prison officers and the prisoners. At the end of the day, we're all living under one roof, you know, and it's not a good place at the moment. You know, we can all blame austerity, your jobs. There's so many jobs around this country now that's been affected by cutbacks, and the prison service has had its fair share. So staffing levels aren't what they are. The knock-on effect of that is the relationship between staff and prisoners isn't as good as what it used to be. So you don't know your prisoners as well. It's almost like Victorian styles of jailcraft, unlock, lock up, you know, whereas that work you would put in on the landings, talking to your prisoners, having a game of pool, a game of chess, just to get that communication and that trust built, a lot of that's had to go, and it's sad, really. It really is, you know. And then we end up with a breeding ground, obviously recent news, terrorism, they've just come out of prison, you know, and it's a real big problem for us. It really is.
Well, yeah, because they can all meet up in prison, can't they?
Exactly.
And find each other and then connect on the outside.
A lot of them learn their trade there. You know, they go in doing small crimes that then get taught other things and come out with a different
mentality.
Well,
that was what was interesting about listening to you, is the fact that you find out what their real issues are when they're in prison. Yes. Yeah, they might have gone in for something quite minor, and then you know the cannibalism one.
There was quite a lot of cannibalism that featured.
I'm like, whoa! Yeah. If you found yourself in a prison cell with somebody who was a cannibal, you'd be horrified.
It's like
you?
I said, I'd have been legging it.
Yeah, I'd have been legging it as well. I'd be like, oh.
Can I move wings, please?
I'm vegetarian. I only eat vegetables.
But it's an interesting life, as you can see, you know, all the characters you meet, staff and prisoners and other people that come into a jail to work. You know, it's not just, you get psychiatrists, nurses, you know, so many people that get a jail to run, you know, it is interesting.
It is.
You are reading a book called...
Yeah, I can't remember the exact title, but it's about an ex-SBS operative, Jamie Foxx, and his fight with PTSD. Over all the things he'd gone through and seen, and the fact that the service just got rid of him and let him go and didn't care for him. But now he's back as part of the Who Dares Wins team on TV. He's part of that team now, and it's just the story of his life and how he's managed to pull it back from the depths of almost jumping off a cliff.
Is he one of the SAS guys then?
Yeah,
because we've got Ant Middleton's book.
He's one of that team.
Yeah,
it's Jamie Foxx. I think he's got a bit of a beard.
They've got great beards on that show. They know how to grow.
Brilliant
beards,
got to say.
I have to say that interview with the prison guards was really good. I really enjoyed that.
It was really.
It's just a shame that the bell went, so we couldn't finish asking them what they were reading. No. But we did get one book out of them.
Yeah, he said he wasn't reading another one anyway.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have recommended one. We see them tomorrow. But I really—it's been so fascinating listening to them talk, and I think it's such a good thing to have in schools.
Yeah.
So, school librarians, if you've not had these guys in, have a look at their website. Get them in. I'll put their link in the description below, because it's really
very
good
interesting.
Talk. Very, very good talk. But moving on, what have we been reading, or what are we going to read over the half term? I haven't read that much, actually, since the last podcast. I've been going back to Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue by Mackenzie Lee, because I've had that on my account now for about 4 months. And I'm like, oh, I keep renewing this book because I'm still overdue. But I've actually got into it, and I've been really enjoying it. I've tried to read it every night just to get through it, because I struggle with books that are big.
Mm,
and this book for me is huge. Is that over 500 pages?
Yeah, I think it is something like that. It's quite a big book.
It's, it's massive, but I'm enjoying it. But I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. Like, but I'm down to the last 80 pages. So I'm hoping to finish that before half term.
Oh, so you'll easily finish that one.
So I can take all of the Excelsior books home and read them before I start doing the award when we get back. Though I did finish one at lunchtime.
Yeah,
the
Star Wars in our silent reading session.
I finished the Star Wars TIE Fighter one, which was surprisingly good, but kind of left on a cliffhanger as comics do.
Yeah,
great art though. Really enjoyed it. It was a great read.
It's going to be interesting what those guys think to all the
because most of my club is kind of into manga, and there's not much manga, so it'll be interesting to have them read the comics and get their opinions.
Yeah, I am currently reading what will be our third Book Trust challenge from the school pack. So I'm reading Lightning Mary by Anthea Simmons, and it's based on Mary Anning, which is a fascinating figure from history, and she was into her geology and things like that. Basically, she comes from a very destitute, poverty-ridden household. You know, they haven't got very much money, and but she's quite stubborn, and she's quite sort of authoritative, and she says she doesn't like it if you call her young lady and stuff like that. She's very much her own person. She's it's a good story. There's, you know, a bit of tragedy in it, and there's a little bit of friendship, because she had a friendship with a boy called Henry, but he's gone off to serve in the army at the moment, which he's not very happy about. I'm not sure whether he'll be coming back into the story or not. I kind of hope he will, because he was kind of like a nice friend for her, really, that she let into her little world, if you like. Yeah, it's a good book, so I'm just finishing that one.
I mean, the good thing about this book being in the Book Trust pack is I knew nothing about Mary Anning.
Exactly.
And then someone was talking about fossils to me, and I was like, oh, you're talking about Mary Anning. Is that the Mary? And they were like, oh, yeah, that's the person I'm talking about. I was like, oh, God, I sound so clever right now. And I never knew who she was until the Book Trust.
So hopefully, the students are going to feel the same way. They're going to be learning about conversation. Yeah, they're going to be learning about some historical cool character. I am also. I've had this book sitting on my side table for quite a while now. I keep dipping into it because I kind of know the story because I've watched the film, and I'm reading A Kestrel for a Knave by Barry Hines. I absolutely adore the film. And I'm wanting to read this with my classics group, so I thought I would just read the book just to check it out, because there is a bit of swearing in it, so I might have to ask permission for us to read it. But I really want to read it with them because it's just a fantastic story. I love it when I read it, and all I can see is like Billy, who is the character, Billy Casper, and he's so downtrodden, and you know, and they did the bit where he's in the classroom and where he's talking passionately about, you know, bringing up this kestrel and training it and stuff like that. And you just see the film and you just see the character, and it's just brilliant. It's so true to the book, the film is.
I've never heard of this book, but you speak like so well about it.
Oh my goodness, it is great. It's written so well. You know, the only thing is there's no chapters in the book. It's just like one long story. It's just like you just continuously read.
Oh, I don't know if I'd like that.
Well, it's not usually my thing, is it?
Because you know, before you go to bed, it's so nice to just like end.
Yeah.
So when you pick it up, you know where you left off.
But no, this doesn't. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it just keeps on going through. But it's not a huge book. It's not, you know. But
no, you'll whip through that.
I'm kind of just reading it on and off. But it's the sort of story that, because I already know the story, I can just put it down and pick it up. And we're not reading it. I'm not thinking of doing it yet because I'm doing Five Children in It by E. Nesbitt. Do you know what I do want to just chat about? Little Women. Right, so we finished Little Women in Reading Classics, didn't we? Which I have to say, me and the group have not really been that enthralled by the story. Plus, there's me expecting that Beth is going to die in the book, because she dies on the film. Nobody dies in the book. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anybody, but it is an old book. But I was listening to a podcast called Why Women Read Fiction, and in episode 2, one of the women talks about the fact that Beth dies in the book. She doesn't die in the book.
What were they reading? Is there another one?
I don't know.
Oh. Yeah. You were expecting death and nothing
well,
happened.
Well, yeah, I did. I was a bit annoyed, wasn't I?
You'd,
because
you'd
I'd had a spoiler.
You just made your peace with Beth. You're like, she's gone.
She's gone. And there I am reading the story with the kids and I'm like, we're all expecting this because it happens in the movie.
And someone told you she was going to die in a podcast. And
yeah, and then nobody
fake
dies.
News.
Nothing actually happens in Little Women. It's just about their little lives. Sorry.
One star.
I'm not a fan of Little Women. No. Sorry to all those Little Women fans out there.
Now, next week, you won't have your weekly podcast because we'll both be on holiday.
Yay.
I'll be in the Peak District. You'll be in India. We know which one's more glamorous.
Yeah, I'm going to a wedding in India.
Have a great holiday. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.